and translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O my Lord, by your own will you appear in the various species of living entities, among animals, Lord and human beings, as well as among the demigods, to perform your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto you for manifesting such different forms. And if you can please repeat after me. O my Lord, by your own will, you appear in various species of living entities, among animals, Lord, and human beings, as well as among the demigods, to perform your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto you for manifesting such different forms and purport. The Lord's incarnations in different species of life are all transcendental. He appears as a human being in his incarnations of Krishna, Rama, etc. But he is not a human being. Anyone who mistakes him for an ordinary human being is certainly not very intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avijananti Mamuda Manusim Tanam Asritam. The same principle is applicable when he appears as the hog or fish incarnations. They are transcendental forms of the Lord and are manifested under certain necessities of his own pleasure and pastimes. Such manifestations of the transcendental forms of the Lord are accepted by him, mostly to enliven his devotees. All his incarnations are manifested whenever there is a need to deliver his devotees and maintain his own principles. Shri Papa Adiki. So here we have Lord Brahma, and he's offering these prayers unto the Lord. So here we get insight into the actual different species of life, and specifically that the Lord is not restricted by any different species, that he'll actually manifest a particular time, place, and circumstance to fulfill a specific need. As it says in the purport, they are transcendental forms of the Lord and are manifested under certain necessities of his own pleasure and pastimes. So the Lord is, he's Abhigna and he's Svarat. So he's the Lord is completely independent and fully cognizant. So whatever is needed at a particular time and place, the Lord will advent for that particular need. It also says, in terms of his independence, so for his own pleasure, so the Lord will actually appear as well to fulfill his own particular desires. So this is another aspect of the Lord, that it's many things at once. So if we have if we look at the different manifestations of the Lord, we can see that the Lord manifests as so many different creatures, even non-creatures. So this is the Supreme can only do this. So if we look at the different incarnations and times that the Lord has advented, it's Lord Narasimha Dev, half man, half lion, Varaha Dev, a boar incarnation, Vamana Dev, the dwarf incarnation. He's also manifested as sound in the holy name. And of course, Granta avatar. So Granta means work, literally work or a book. So he also manifests as a book, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Lord, he doesn't have any restrictions. Sorry, so this is just a verse from the Padma Purana. So the Srimad Bhagavatam's 12 cantos, they represent the limbs of the Lord, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, according to the following verses of the Padma Purana. Pado yadiyo pratama dviteyo churjiya taryo katito yadaru nabhistata panchama evo shasto Bunjataram dor yugalam tatanyo katanstu rajan namavo yadiyo muka ravindam dashanmam prapulam eka dasho yasya latapatam shiro pitu dvadasha eva bati tam adidevam karuna niranam tamala varnam suitavart suti avataram apara samsara sumudra setum vajam mahi bhagavata svarupam. The first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam are Sri Krishna's lotus feet. The third and fourth cantos are his thighs. The fifth canto is his navel. The sixth canto is his chest. The seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. And the ninth canto is his throat. The tenth canto is his beautiful lotus face. The 11th canto is his forehead. The 12th canto is his head. I bow down to that Lord, the ocean of mercy, whose colour is like that of a Tamala tree, and who appears in this world for the welfare of all. I worship him as a bridge for crossing the unfathomable ocean of material existence. The Bhagavatam has appeared as his very self. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it appears as a Lord. It's not different to the Lord, and this is why that Srila Prabhupada has recommended that we take darshan of the Lord. First of all, we start with the lotus feet of the Lord, and this is how we regularly take darshan, from the lotus feet up until the face of the Lord. So this is the respectful way, and this is what Srila Prabhupada has recommended. Also in the purport, it mentions that people, they ride the Lord. It's a verse from the Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajananti ma muda manusim tanum asritam. That this is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita that it says basically those foolish people, they ride the Lord, not knowing that He's the Supreme Lord of all that be. So we have many examples of this in the scriptures, that if you know, a good example is Shishupal. So Shishupal, he was completely envious of the Lord. From birth, he took birth and he appeared with three eyes and four arms, and he was braying like an ass, it's described. So it was inauspicious. And then eventually Shishupal, he had the actual darshan of Krishna when he was still a baby, actually. So and it was mentioned to his mother that eventually the person is going to be killed, and the person, when he actually sits on the lap of that person, his eyes and extra arm will disappear. So Krishna's he was related to Shishupal's mother, and when Krishna actually he held Shishupal on his lap, the extra eye and the two arms disappeared, and his mother then knew that eventually that Krishna was going to slay Shishupal. So his mother asked Krishna for a boon, that Shishupal to not to be slayed, on, you know, to have a long happy life. So Krishna gave a boon, not so much immunity from it, but more like a concession. So he said, okay, I'll tolerate, you know, only so much, you know, 100 insults. So as time went on, Shishupal was arranged to marry Rohini. Rohini was herself not so much in favor of the marriage, and she wrote a letter to Krishna, and she basically asked to be taken away, and eventually then Krishna he kidnapped Rukmini in the Kshatriya style. So this is what really enraged Shishupal, and he had so much enmity towards Krishna. And then sometime later, as the Pandavas, they had their Rajasuya sacrifice in Indraprastha, that King Yudhisthira was performing. So as part of that sacrifice, they had to decide who would be the person who would get the most respect, the most worshipable person, and that was ultimately decided to be Krishna. And after some debate, when Krishna was chosen, Shishupal, he simply couldn't handle that. His enmity flared up, and then he completely, he started chastising Krishna, speaking words, harsh words, all in such a, you know, an arrogant, demonic way. And this angered all the people there. So Bhishma was trying to check Shishupal, and Shishupal, he still further, you know, so much blasphemy of Krishna and his devotees. So he said to Bhishma that, you know, he's only taken, he was, you know, trying to be heroic and very macho, and he said that Bhishma has only taken a vow of celibacy due to impotence, and then he chastised Krishna, called him that he was just like a dog taking the ghee from the sacrificial offering. And then when Bhima gets angry as a result as well, and Bhishma tries to restrain him, and Shishupal says, no, let him go. He'll just burn like an insect in the fire of my wrath, in that sense. So Bhishma then went on to say that actually Shishupal, he's speaking words of someone who has lost their intelligence, someone who doesn't have long left to live. So this is envy. We can see that In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Deato visyampum sam sangas tasu bhajayate, sangas sanjayate kama, kama krodha bhajayate. So, when the actual, from our attachment to things, when that becomes frustrated, anger arises. And from that anger leads to loss of bewilderment and loss of intelligence. So, this is manifested in all envious people. And specifically Shishupal on this occasion, that his envy didn't allow him to see the circumstances that were happening around. So there's a story, there's this sage who went for a walk, and he was laughing to himself because he happened to just witness a kind of funny event. And what happened was, he saw that that there was a jackal, and there was two rams who were fighting. So the rams, they have a contest between each other. So they ram each other literally, and as this was taking place, the rams, they were getting very much, you know, shown the signs of their battle wounds. So they were had blood, and on this occasion, the jackal, he, you know, his senses were naturally just attracted to the blood, and so eventually the inevitable happened, that his senses led him to actually, you know, try and, you know, get the blood. And on that occasion, he was in between the ramming, the two rams. So he got literally, you know, heavily smashed by the rams. So the sage was reflecting on this story that basically, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the senses, they're so strong and impetuous that they can carry away the intelligence of someone, even who's trying to restrain them. So on this occasion, the jackal, due to his conditioned nature, he couldn't perceive the danger, and he was immediately rammed, literally. So this is like Shishupal. After only so many, you know, so much needless words, and arrogance, he finally, Krishna said, okay, his boon is over. After it's been over 100 insults, and so Krishna immediately and swiftly, in his own way that he delivered his mercy to Shishupal. Shishi Radha Gokul Nanda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gorni Tai ki. Okay. So Shishupal, he was instantly actually beheaded and slain by Krishna, and his soul merged into Krishna's body. So he achieved liberation by Krishna's mercy. So there's many different pastimes of people who are envious in the scriptures, and ultimately the whole conditioned nature of material life is one of envy. His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, he tells this story that when he was actually, maybe his early days, when he was trying to assess Shripapad to see if he, you know, and he wasn't so convinced of the philosophy, he asked if this world, you know, why would a Supreme Lord create a world that is so full of suffering? And Shripapad, he immediately said, kind of sternly or sharply that Krishna, that the Lord didn't create this world, you did. So he was basically saying that it's due to our own desires that this material world is facilitated. So it's because we want to actually be independent and enjoy independently that this material world is created. So we have so much different layers of ego. I was just reflecting, the ego is so, goes so deep and far that it can sometimes, I know some of you might be familiar, but with like onions have many different layers. So this is kind of like the ego. We have to, peel it away, and it does make us cry as well. But that's... So, yeah, we have to become purified. There's something I'd like to mention as well, that on this... Actually, before we finish here, I'd like to ask Mr. Danny questions. Yes, Eric Poo.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very nice class. My question is, here in the translation, it said that Lord take the form or the incarnation for his own pleasure. But we know that the material world is created as a prison, kind of.
Yeah.
So from this perspective, one could understand that the material world is created for that Krishna can fulfill certain desire of him to take this part of incarnation and act in this way, like this.
Yeah.
So how do we understand this?
My understanding is that, like I said, it's simultaneously different things at once. So this material world is ultimately it's to facilitate the desires of the living entity, but also the Supreme Lord has he has manifested living entities as well who are on the marginal potency, which means that they're prone to actually to fall from the spiritual world. So this is the marginal living entity that we're prone to fall, but Krishna also, he has specific desires and some desires that he can actually exercise in the material world. So that's my understanding, that it has to be by the Supreme Lord's arrangement that souls are fallible as well. If any of the seniors would like to maybe clarify that matter more, I'd be grateful to hear any other opinions. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Pranav Bhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class.
Thank you.
In the translation again, it's mentioned that the Lord also manifests among demigods. Do we know of any incarnations wherein he was like amongst the demigods in any of those pastimes?
From my opinion, or sorry, from my understanding, that the Supreme Lord is right now manifested as Suryadev as well, and he does particular posts. He does actually, and we can see that. Yeah, and he's involved in terms of the different planets as well. But yeah, I know Suryadev definitely is a demigod. Yeah, and sometimes he appears as Lord Brahma as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Ananta Jutubu. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Towards the end, yeah. You were mentioning about this false ego, no?
Yes.
Can you quickly share a few practical things that we can take to curb down our false ego?
For practical things, for me it's always to always see the line of instruction from superiors. That's something that I see to always, that in terms of hierarchy and different things like this are very important to keep one safe in spiritual life. So we have our spiritual master, our seniors, and for me it's always good to always develop good habits of trying to know the etiquettes and to show respect to seniors and superiors. So of course to show respect to everyone, but specifically to have that standard of etiquette, and to, when we hear instructions from seniors, to take them seriously, and that this will always keep us safe, and of course to always, you know, chant as much as possible. But that's my something that comes to mind for me. Thank you. I'd just like to ask if there's any more questions. Okay, so, yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Yes.
So, who was Shishupal in the previous verse?
Oh, so Shishupal, I don't know specifically which personality, but I know that he was Jai and Vijay. So, you know, the pastime from Vaikuntha, that the doorkeepers and the four Kamaras, so they were cursed to take birth for an offence to the Kamaras, and at this time they appeared in previous verse in Satya Yuga as Hiranyaksha and was it Hiranyakashipu, and then in Treta Yuga as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then in Kali, in Dwarpa Yuga, as Shishupal and Dantravakra, and then Kali Yuga as Jai and Vijay. Jagai and Madai. So they were the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, and they were actually devotees of Krishna. So they were just, it was basically just a pastime that they were there to facilitate the Lord's pastime. So they were playing the role of demons. So I'd like to move on now. Today is also on a very auspicious day. It's the appearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji and also Sri Rasikananda Prabhu. And also it's the disappearance day of His Holiness Tamil Krishna Goswami Maharaj. First of all, I'd like to just start some information about His Holiness Tamil Krishna Goswami Maharaj, that he was a senior Shirupapa disciple. He joined early on in the late 1960s. After around 4 years, he took sannyas, and then in around 1977, if not mistaken, he became an initiating spiritual master, and he was involved in management very, very much so from the beginning. He was very, very efficient and very much, relied on by Sri Prabhupada, very much given responsibility by Sri Prabhupada, and he did management in India as well as America. And sometime after being in India, he was in America and he established his Radha Damodar Sankirtan team as like a traveling bus. And from what I've heard, that all the different temples, they were complaining that, you know, this bus, it was basically that it was a big bus where the different brahmacharis, they would travel around the country and preach and do book distribution. And it was very successful. And all the different temples started complaining that, you know, this bus comes along and it picks up a few brahmacharis on each temple, and all the temples are getting empty. So it was a really exciting venture. Yeah. But I'd like to ask if there's any disciples or anyone who has more information on His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj who would maybe like to say a few words. Yes, thank you, Govinda Prabhu.
Thank you for your thought-provoking class. Yeah, I was present in Mayapur at that time that he left the planet. It was very striking that there were many Chinese devotees.
Yes.
And there were the news came in the morning, so they cancelled the Bhagavatam class. And then they brought his body back and decorated it and placed it on the altar before Radha Madhava, and then devotees lined up and they all got to touch his feet. But what was very noticeable was the outpouring of grief from so many devotees. There were people just walking around Mayapur just crying, especially lots of disciples from the Chinese yatra as well. I remember that, so yeah. And then of course after that he was placed in samadhi in Mayapur Dam in the ISKCON complex. Hare Krishna.
Sure, thank you. Yes. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was also in the 1990s he received a bachelor's degree in religious studies, and then I believe it was in the University of Cambridge that he did a PhD. Yeah, in the University of Cambridge, and his thesis or dissertation was basically, it was all about in glorification of Sri Prabhupada's contribution to the world. So he glorified Sri Prabhupada as well, and he was very proficient in terms of, you know, his preaching, his management, and even academics. So I'd like to yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Yes.
So Giriraj Swami, he went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj's tree, and he was praying to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, "Why did you live like this? I wanted to come with you." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj came in a dream and said, "Prabhupada called me." And then he told Giriraj Swami, "You have to do three things before you come back and if you want to come with me. Before you come, you have to write books, promote japa workshops, and initiate disciples."
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for sharing, Prabhu. Yes, Eric Prabhu.
Just shortly, I don't remember everything, but I was just reading Radha Damodar Vilas, and there is this story as Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he joined, so he was a student, and then he moved to the Highbury, and he lived in a flat with somebody, but then later on became bored by life like that, there was no purpose, and he was still searching. So then he left to the forest. In that time, many hippies would live in the forest, so he would settle down by the tree, and he would live in the tree or close to the tree. They would have some, like, you know, cottage or so. And then he would have a flute, and he would play the flute all day long. He was just searching, spiritual seeker. And Vishnujan, in the same time, he made up his own drum, double-headed drum, and he was running in the forest like that. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he is describing how he one day heard this sound of the drum, and he said the sound was just heavenly, it was just, yeah, from different planet, and I just desired to meet this person who plays so wonderfully this drum. And it happened, so this drum came closer, and then as I was playing the flute, the drum and the drummer would come, and we would just meet it, see each other, but we wouldn't talk to each other. we would just continue to play, and we would play for hours and hours the music, and after that Vishnujan said just one thing: we never can go away of each other, we never can dispel. And since that time we stay together always, and then later on they start to come to the temple, and they were very excited. But first time they missed Srila Prabhupada about one day or so. Srila Prabhupada left earlier, so they were very disappointed. So they were keeping going and coming to the temple, but then they met Srila Prabhupada. And yeah, Srila Prabhupada was first of all very like strict to them. He was not, you know, I thought Srila Prabhupada will be like, wow, so great personalities, but Srila Prabhupada was actually challenging their faith since beginning. And then later on, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he became very evolved in arrangements. And there is also explained, he was really, that Vishnujan Swami, he would attract the people by his sweetness, kindness, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, then he would be the one who would give the, yes, the instructions and the... It's very interesting.
Thank you very much, Eric Poo. If it's okay, I know it's a half day fast today, so I just want to say a few, continue on and say a few more words on Srila Jagannath Das Babaji and Rasikananda Prabhu. Just sorry, I thought I had Srila Jagannath Das Babaji's pranam mantra, but I don't have it here at the moment. Oh, thank you, Boo. If thank you. Yes, it's a Gora Virbhava Bhume Sam Nirdeshta Sajana Priyaha Vaishnav Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Jagannath Das Babaji, who is respected by the entire Vaishnav community and who discovered the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So Sri Jagannath Das Babaji ki. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he appeared in the, it's actually a much, it's not really so much known at the exact date, and some say different estimates and different dates, but it's around the mid 18th century, like the mid 1700s, and he was said to have appeared in an aristocratic family, and it's actually, much of the information I got is from the book by His Grace Rupa Vilas Prabhu, who also quotes from Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's commentary on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commented that at the time of Lord Chaitanya, that this same personality, Jagannath Das Babaji, was actually a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya in Kurukshetra at that time, and his name was Jagannath, and Lord Chaitanya instructed Jagannath on the pastimes, on the process of devotional service, and now in the future that same Jagannath has appeared as Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. So Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, he lived a very long time, and it's also different estimates. Some say 37 years, some say 144 years or 147 years. And he stayed a long time in Vrindavan, and he had his place of residence was in, not that he really had a residence, but the place he would stay was in Suryakund. And but he was also known as the crest jewel of Vrindavan, or the custodian of Radhakund, that and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a great respect for Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, and he considered him his Shiksha Guru. And Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was very humble, so much so that you could see he's there on the... Oh, no, sorry, he's not here, actually. Sorry, he's not here, he's before that. But he's completely... Yeah, he's completely, you know, stooped. By that time, he was 140 or so years, and he was basically like a C-shape, and his servant was Bihari Das Babaji, was very strong and stout, and he used to carry him around in a basket. And there's different pastimes that he was so humble that he used to spend half of his time in Vrindavan and the other half in Navadvip. And eventually he decided that it was time for him to leave to go to Navadvip. And during that time, all the residents of Vrindavan were not very happy. They wanted him to stay, and he said that he felt himself to be so offensive that Radha and Krishna, he's so offensive that they take account of sins and offences, but Gorni Thai, they don't take any account or register. And so that was his humility, that in his remaining years he stayed in Navadvip. And during this time, he said that he would just stay under a tree. And then eventually Bhaktivinoda Thakur established a hut for him, for Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, a place of residence. And he would just continue in his bhajan. Sometimes he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't eat for 3 days, and he would just be involved in japa constantly. And he was also known as a Siddha Purus. So he had like this kind of this reputation that he had mystic powers throughout, you know, Bengal area, and to wealthy landowners or householders. They actually tried to test Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, and they asked, "Oh, do you know where this?" They came and they didn't realize it was him. Said, "Do you know where this Babaji is?" And he says, "No, I haven't heard of any, you know, Siddha Purus or anything like that." And then immediately he started kind of shouting and banging his stick on the ground, very very strongly. And they said, "Oh no, we've offended him. This must be the Babaji." And then he said, "Don't worry, I'm not angry. That you've just actually, I was just trying to scare off a goat in Radhakund by Loka Nat Goswami's tulsi plant, who was eating the plant." So this was hundreds of miles away, and immediately the two personalities, they sent a telegram to Vrindavan to find out if that tulsi plant had been actually eaten or attacked by a goat, and they found that this was true. So he actually showed him his mystic potencies, but he didn't actually do that. He did it to increase their faith, and that was his idea in that sense. Just before I conclude, I'd like to continue on to Rasikananda Prabhu, but and also that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he found the place of Yoga Pit, and he confirmed that it was the place where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and he did this geographically, historically, and also spiritually through Jagannath Das Babaji, who immediately, when he was brought to that place, which was a whole, like thickets of tulsi plants, that he jumped up and down, and he declared, shouted Gauranga, Gauranga, and he declared, you know, this is the place, the Janmabhoomi, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So also Rasikananda Prabhu, there's still very little known about his life. He appeared in 1590. His father was the king of Rohini, and he was very efficient. He had, in his early life, he achieved mastery of the scriptures, and at one point he was seeking a guru, and he was intensely praying for a guru, and then the words Shyamananda came into his mind, and he started reciting Shyamananda's name like a mantra continuously, and it became then revealed that the next day he will meet Shyamananda Prabhu, and in the next morning then, when the sky, they say, was like kind of tinged with pink, Shyamananda Prabhu was walking effulgently smiling, and that's when he became a disciple of Shyamananda Prabhu. And Rasikananda Prabhu, he was also known as, he had a name, Murari, and he was also called Rasika Murari. And his wife was also a very saintly person who took birth in the same place where the Pandavas were exiled. And throughout Rasikananda Prabhu's life, he was very much known for being such a very, you know, unparalleled preacher, and he converted many people to Vaishnavism, you know, rogues and dacoits and so on. And he even, there's a story that someone sent an intoxicated elephant to kill him, and this elephant was basically, he was tamed by the holy name, and Rasikananda Prabhu just chanted the holy name, and eventually then the elephant actually paid his obeisances to Rasikananda Prabhu and actually chanted Hare Krishna. So it's something which is hard to believe, but the elephant then became known as Gopal Das. So yeah, the elephant was converted to Vaishnavism by Rasikananda Prabhu. And also, when Rasikananda Prabhu was preaching, he really immediately remembered that it was the Ratiyatra festival in Jagannath Puri. So then he wanted to go immediately to Jagannath Puri, and he arrived there, and it turns out that the cart had stopped, and Jagannath had said he's not going to move. They tried everything, but he wasn't going to move until his devotee Rasikananda came. And so Rasikananda arrived with like fine silk garments, and he offered them to Lord Jagannath, and then immediately he pulled the cart forward with the rope, and immediately it moved. So this is just another pastime. And then when he finally departed from this world, he immediately was drawn towards Ramuna, the same temple where Shura Gopinath had the pastime with was in Madhavendra Puri, and he actually in Ramuna, he in front of Shirachora Gopinath, he paid his respects and he his obeisances, and he actually departed this world by disappearing into the feet of the deity. So a very mystical disappearance also. So this is what I have to share today in terms of Rasikananda Prabhu and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. If there's any comments or questions, please share, and if not, I'm sorry to keep you waiting a bit over time. Yes, Priyojana Prabhu.
The thing I particularly remember is when he was in Mayapur, he started up the the kirtans as a speciality, you know, like a precursor to the kirtan mela. And they used to go up in Tabakjicharu Swami's rooms, and they used to have tremendous kirtans, and that was really the precursor to the kirtan melas that started in Mayapur. And he was a great you could say devotee, in that he appreciated the holy name. And it was and I remember the day also, like Govinda Prabhu said, they were in grief, so much grief. And I remember in the announcements, Sridhar Maharaj, he was actually crying in front of the Lord Nrisimhadev as he sung the Lord Nrisimhadev prayers. And so you know, it was an advent to, you know, really, he was, you know, not only in China, but he was starting up the communities there. And apparently it's starting up again now in China, the Krishna consciousness in that oppressive state is now spreading there too. So all glories to Tamal Krishna Goswami.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nishirabhapad ki. All glories to Tamil devotees.